don't know how everyone else is doing tonight, but I'm in a great mood because I just came from the Nick D Movie Club out at the Rosemont AMC. We saw Back to the Future on the big screen, and some of you are probably just getting into your car. Thank you so much for coming. It was a sold-out night at the AMC. It was great. I didn't get to see the entire movie because I had to come to work. And then I was just like, the whole time I was in a good mood. I felt like I was a kid again because I saw this movie when I was little, and I just loved
in the theater.
I saw it again today on the big screen. It was spectacular.
Did you see it in the theater as a kid?
Yes, I did see it.
How cool.
Yeah, it was wonderful to see it again. John Tatey joins us in studio. Where would you put, would you put Back to the Future on your own list of top 10 movies?
No.
No. Wow.
But it's a great movie.
I don't know. I think I would definitely put it in my top 10. Scott Stantis,
yes.
Would you put it in?
I wouldn't say it's great. I'd say it's a good movie.
Sure, I'll sign
up
for that.
It's fun, and it's a fun movie.
I have to fight with these people now. Have you ever seen Back to the Future, Esmeralda?
I have, yeah.
And you wouldn't put it in your top 10 either?
No.
Okay, then.
Would you?
The car.
I would put it in my top 10.
Let me say this about it. That movie is like a clockwork 80s blockbuster. Bob Zemeckis knew how to string a movie together, and it just every moment of that movie pops. There's
absolutely
no wasted scene in that film. So I think that's why it's remembered so fondly, is it sweeps you up in its arc, and Zemeckis really know how to make that machine tick.
Okay, I think that's a fair way to put that. And I loved seeing it again. And it's just amazing, the quality of the film. I think he said it was in four, I can't remember what the type of film or digital that we were watching, but it was great. I mean, everyone looked so young, though, too, you know, to see Leah Thompson and Michael J. Fox and Crispin Glover, who's crazy. But, I mean, he's got those crazy eyes in the movie anyway.
Michael J. Fox, we ended up at a dance club in L.A. with him.
Did
right
you
after
really?
That film. Yeah. Our friend, our female friend, who's very tall, Michael J. Fox is not, so he started dancing at her butt.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
is that a memory for you?
Sure.
It's a good memory. Well, Michael J. Fox, watch me segue. Michael J. Fox, of course, at the time, was filming all at the same time one of the most successful sitcoms in television history as well, which was Family Ties. Mm-hmm. Was my favorite show. Loved Alex P. Keaton.
He was the breakout star of that show.
Absolutely.
But it was intended as a show about these aging hippie parents, right? But really, Michael J. Fox sort of took over that show, especially in its later years.
Oh, so good.
And rightly so.
What was that?
Well, the fellow behind you.
Oh, you're waving. I thought you were raising your hand. I'm like, Scott, why are you raising your hand on my show?
Yeah, he was. If you remember, the concept was the parents were aging hippies and he was a Reagan Republican.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was when we would pitch my show. We sold a series to ABC Studios, and one of the things I was most excited about, actually, was the character of my son, who would be really kind of an Alex P. Keaton, except that he would have, instead of having Reagan on his wall, he would have FDR on his wall. Sort of this, and you know, the way
he's like a classic blue blood liberal.
Yeah, from a working class family. So that was kind of a fun thing.
I like that.
Yeah, it was very fun. So maybe, by the way, speaking of which, the woman who wrote the pilot script for my series, Emilia Serrano, just sold two feature film scripts to Sony. So very exciting. Yeah, I'm very excited about that. So you can check that out in Deadline Hollywood, I'm sure, or Variety. Emilia Serrano. Congratulations to her.
Great job, Amelia.
Yeah, we're very excited for her. So we are in the studio with, okay, so you guys, I guess, everyone's kind of doing a goodbye tour on our show this week. And Scott, I know you're traveling on Thursday, so I wanted to make sure you had the opportunity
to
come in studio. You guys, so John, I don't know if you've been following sort of this, it's kind of a funeral march.
Yeah.
It really has been. I mean, every columnist, every writer for the Chicago Tribune has been posting their pictures on social media, sharing their thoughts, their perspective. And what's great about it is it really is quite specific to each person, and how Mary Schmeek has little by little been unearthing new things in her cubicle, whereas John Kaz is like, out of here. You know, newspaper.
Yeah,
not quite.
He was goopy and sentimental.
Yes.
Well, his last column
in a John Cass sort of a way.
Yeah. And now he's like whining how he has to live in the den of liberals. It's just they put all the columnists in this one little corner. It's this intimate little node, and it's
So is he with like Rex Hupke, Mary Schmeek, Eric Zorn is with you, right?
Right, he is. And Mary actually wanted to be with the features department. So, but you've got Heidi Stevens and Michael Phillips, and Hopke's there, and
So why did, they should have put the two, like, you and, would you like to have shared a space with John Cass? You have a conservative corner?
I don't want to share a space with anyone. I've lost my office. I'm going to be singing from this for months.
You had an office with a door?
I had an office here.
He had a huge, a beautiful office, a corner office kind of a space.
Well, it was kind of tucked away, way far away from editors.
And now you have, what did you say, a node?
I share a cubicle with Eric Zorn, who's a lovely person.
I can pull, I think Eric Zorn has pictures on his Facebook page. Everyone, if you want to see some of the space where the Chicago Tribune is now occupying in Prudential One, Eric Zorn's Facebook page has photos of that. That one wall with the Chicago Tribune on it looks cool, like the brick wall.
Yeah, that's the entrance, right?
That's the entrance?
Yeah, it's this massive.
You have four floors, by the way?
Well, apparently executives had the top floor. We're not allowed there.
Oh.
My card, you know, it's one of those buildings you put your card to the elevator and it only tells you, you may only go to two floors.
I don't like those. I don't like those elevators.
No.
That's
that, that order you around.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
You're
going
to have to deal with
They're very judgy.
Yeah. That's just it. Yes.
Well, this,
but I want to go to corporate. I don't think so.
I don't. Does the elevator say that?
Yeah, in that tone.
Oh, boy.
No.
Well, so you have moved. Almost everybody from WGN Radio has moved. Everything, the production offices, the sales offices, have all moved across the river. All of our offices are over there as well. So John Tatey has created a TV segment for us just on that idea. I love it.
Well, in honor of my last show here at the Showcase Studio, Patty, I did put together a TV trivia quiz tonight entitled Get a Move On. It's about TV shows that have moved location.
I love it.
And it's multiple choice, so if you're a little shaky on your TV trivia but have always wanted to play, tonight might be the night to call in because, hey, you could get lucky.
You could get lucky. I mean, I'm not offering you something else in your evening. I'm saying you get lucky and win a Luma.
Okay.
And Apt Electronics. I mean, they might get lucky.
I thought this was going to be a night to remember the Showcase Studio, but it still will be because this is going to be a good quiz.
So 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. You do have to call in to be a contestant. How many contestants do you want tonight, John?
We need two.
Two contestants. So the first two callers that Michael will get your information, make sure that you haven't won before. So we'll go through that process. 312. Also, if you're kind to him, that helps a lot to get on here.
Yes, be nice.
312-981-7200 to compete in Moving On.
Get a Move On.
Get a Move On.
But Moving On is
No,
too.
Get a Move On. I wrote it down and didn't even look at it.
I did.
I wrote it down. Get a Move On.
Get a Move On.
I was so convinced in my ability to remember it, but apparently not the moment when I wrote it down. Get a Move On.
Or we're moving on out.
Moving on out.
The east side. High-rise apartment in the sky, yeah.
I love that story about why McCormick wanted the building here. Like, he could have, like, this, the fancier part of town at the time was on the south side of the river, and over here was kind of like the working class and factory kind of stuff, and cockroaches and rodents, and it seemed like a swell place for a newspaper. But it was also going to have a factory aspect too.
So you're talking about before Tribune Tower was built,
where they decided to put it.
Oh, you know what was here was one of the things that was here was a baby formula factory.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a cart. They had this. You know, you've heard of the Howls and Hood won the big contest, $100,000 back in 1920, and the cartoonists for the Chicago Tribune decided to enter as well. And one of the buildings they entered is in the shape of a baby to bottle. I'm not kidding.
Oh my, I kind of love all of that. Well, Leonard and Daniel are on hold. They are our contestants for Get a Move On. It's our TV trivia night with Tatey. More after this on 720 WGN. We really are moving on up. Like Esmeralda right now, she's not on the 7th floor anymore. She is on the 18th floor in the traffic shack. Hi, Ez.
Hi.
How's it going so far? I was asking Bob, I think maybe you should come over here and do the traffic tomorrow. I think it should be one, like, in our studio. Not like, yell at her. Well, how would you feel about that?
Is there...
There'll be a microphone for you?
No.
No.
Is there a game?
Is there a game? Oh. Is there a Sox game tomorrow night? No, I don't... We'll still be on from 11.
Sorry,
we'll
did I say that 11 too. I am so sorry.
I only mean because I have an hour before your show.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Good point. Excellent point. Okay, well, we're going to figure out all the technical aspects because I was just thinking it'd be nice to have Ez in the studio.
Of course.
I don't know why I didn't think of it while she was still in the building. I didn't know that there was an option. All right.
I thought it was so funny. I know we're going to get to our quiz, but I just want to say this. Last week when I was in the studio, Steve and Johnny were here, right?
Yes.
That was last week. And Esmeralda was sitting here at the table too, because nobody had told her that traffic was now over in the other building. And Esmeralda, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but she told me before the show that she had a little bit of butterflies because she was going to be doing the traffic mere feet away from Steve and Johnny themselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
But
well,
I thought
that she's, you know,
the traffic goddess,
right?
You are also a traffic goddess.
Oh,
you're my
you.
Traffic.
And then Hurd's like, she's like, yeah, and we had this big map, and then we had to make phone calls.
I love
and we
to talk about
like,
the map.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. I have to. We're going to take a moment because as you were talking, I didn't mean to be rude, but I was whispering to Michael this. I can't get the callers on the air. I can't see if I can't put them on the air.
Oh dear.
Can you put them on the air from there, Michael? Oh, you can. How about that? Right? You can do it from there. Excellent. Let's do it that way. There's Leonard. Hi, Leonard. How are you doing? We're going to do Leonard and Daniel are the two we're going to put on the air, Michael. So Leonard, how are you doing tonight from Glenview?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Now, how well do you think you know TV trivia?
Pretty good.
Excellent. We have going head to head with you is going to be Daniel from Elgin. Hey, Daniel. What's up tonight?
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you. So you two are going head-to-head. I'm going to have Jonte take it away. Scott Santis and I will not yell out answers. We are going to, yes, we will be mute. We can wave our hands and go crazy because
okay.
We know the answers.
All right.
Jonte, take
okay,
it away.
Fellas,
get a move on.
Get a move on. Pretty simple. All these questions are about TV shows that moved location. Leonard, you'll go first in the first round where you'll have your choice of categories, comedies of the black and white era or animated shows of today.
Okay.
Which category would you prefer?
For Leonard?
This is for Leonard, yes.
Go ahead, Leonard.
Black and white of yesteryear.
Comedies of the black and white era. Okay, here's your question. In the sixth season of I Love Lucy, the title character decides she's had enough of the New York City hustle and bustle. So the Ricardo family moves to a quiet suburban house elsewhere in the New York tri-state area. Where did Lucy end up? On the salt-flecked shores of Long Island, on the verdant streets of Westport, Connecticut, on the fragrant plains of Jersey City, New Jersey. A, Long Island, B, Westport, Connecticut, C, Jersey City, New Jersey. What do you say, Leonard?
I say B.
And B is correct. Connecticut, where some of the worst episodes of I Love Lucy took place.
It was fun, though. It was something fun.
But it passed its prime, I think.
Do you ever notice that house kind of reminds you of Who's the Boss?
Oh, wow. I never thought of that, but yes. Mm-hmm. I can
just
see it.
Saying.
Okay.
Kind of like the Laverne and Shirley set looked like two and a half men. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Patty's doing her own show
I noticed
here.
These things, sorry.
all right, Daniel, it's your turn. Your category is animated shows of today. Here's your question.
All right.
The setting for the FX spy spoof Archer has changed more than once, and whenever the show moves to a new locale, the title changes too. For its fifth season, Archer was renamed Archer Vice, and our heroes undertake what mission? A, they hunt drug gangs across the Mexican border, B, they sell cocaine in Miami, or C, they infiltrate a strip club in Las Vegas. When Archer became Archer Vice, yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna go with B, Miami.
Well done, Daniel. We got two players tonight. That is correct.
Whoa!
And the fifth season took
place.
Oh,
sorry, I missed that, Daniel. Go ahead.
I said the competition is heating up here.
That's right.
Okay, should we move along to round two, Patty?
Absolutely.
To round two?
Yes, we do.
Okay, Daniel, you're going to go first in this round. You have your choice of the categories game shows and period dramas.
I guess we'll go with period dramas.
Period dramas, okay. The first two seasons of this show took place in the Silicon Prairie of Texas. The last two seasons were set in the Silicon Valley of California. What's the name of this AMC series about the early years of the personal computer revolution? A, Halt and Catch Fire, B, The IT Crowd, or C, Mr. Robot? What shows?
That would be A, Halt and Catch Fire.
I didn't even have to give it to him twice.
Whoa.
He is ready. That is correct.
Okay. This is impressive. Okay.
Yeah.
This is probably the best matchup we've had in a long time.
It is.
No offense to our lovely listeners. I would not have been able to hang on this one. Just telling you.
Do we encourage wagering?
Ooh.
Yes.
What do you got?
The Supreme Court says it's legal now. Yeah.
That's right. I've got 50 full cents.
Leonard, it's over to you. It's now 2-1 in Daniel's favor, so you got to catch it. What are you getting?
We're betting on.
There's wagering happening in the background. Okay, so this is high stakes, Leonard. Your category is game.
Scott's chosen Leonard. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So I got Daniel.
Don't let me go down, dude. Don't let me down.
Come on.
Here's your question, Leonard. Even game shows go on location. When the 80s iteration of this quiz show spent a week in Florida, its traditional X and O were replaced on the board by a pair of crossed water skis and an orange, respectively. What was the show? A. Hollywood Squares, B. Wheel of Fortune, or C. Tic-Tac-Doe? Went to Florida in the 80s. Hollywood Squares is correct, Leonard. Yes.
Holy moly.
All right.
God bless you.
I can't get anything past these guys.
No, you cannot. I'm glad there's a backside of that sheet, is all I'm saying.
Should we go to the pivotal round three?
I think so. It's 3-3 right now, yes?
It's 2-2.
2-2. I've heard it both ways. I don't know how many hash marks I made there. Round three. That would make sense.
Okay, Leonard, you're up first in this one, and you're going to choose from the categories classic late night and classic reality TV.
Ooh. Classic reality TV.
Okay, here's the question. MTV's seminal reality show The Real World has bounced from city to city since its New York debut in 1992, traveling to Boston, Chicago, Denver, Key West, and beyond. What was the first city outside the United States to host a Real World cast? Was it A, Sydney, Australia, B, Paris, France, or C, London, England?
Wow.
Ooh. Give me those choices again.
Yep, it's the first Real World season outside the United States. Did it take place in Sydney, Australia, Paris, France, or London, England?
Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia is incorrect.
Whoa!
No!
So sorry, Scott. So very sorry, Scott. Oh. Well, now does Daniel have a chance to steal, or do you want to go next question?
Well, since it's multiple choice, we're going to go to the next question.
Yeah, because it's narrowed the field.
The answer was London, England. In season four, it was that early, The Real World went to London.
Wow.
Okay, so Daniel, this is your chance to win. It's 2-2 as we head to the last question in classic late night.
Come on, Daniel. I got 50 cents riding on this.
Got
Let's go.
50 cents Come on. On this. Late night TV was transformed forever in 1972 when Johnny Carson moved The Tonight Show from its longtime home at 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York to a new site where the show remained until Jimmy Fallon took over in 2014. To what Southern California burg did Johnny bring his Tonight Show? A.
Burbank.
Oh, I love it. That is correct. Well done, Daniel.
All right. Okay.
This was an extraordinary game. You both are winners. Congratulations.
Boy, and that Real World question was tough. I feel a little bad for Leonard, but well done by both of you.
Well, he's like, yeah, wait a minute.
I know the host of Hollywood Squares.
You both were excellent players.
Marshall and John Davidson.
Yep, that's right.
Very cool. For Leonard, we do have a parting prize for you. We have a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. You can call 855-955-HVAC. So that's for Leonard, who is it's our
it's a lovely
prize.
Parting gift
it's
for Leonard.
Lovely. Yeah. It's a golf clap. And for our champion. Sorry, Leonard. That sounded
Daniel,
harsh.
Who didn't even need the choices on the last question.
That's true. Daniel has won a gift card from Apt Electronics, pleasing people since 1936.
I would have known that one.
Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. And don't forget to say hello to our good friend Steve Shapiro when you stop out there. Sounds good, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a wonderful game of get a move on to celebrate.
Well played. Good players for our Showcase Studio send-off.
And great questions as well. I loved it.
Patty.
All right. So we are going to go to the news. There was something that I want. Oh, by the way, as and this isn't something that would come up on traffic, but there is a flipped car on. I forgot to mention this when I came in. There's a flipped car on Lower Wacker Drive. I'll send you the picture of it.
Oh,
but
goodness.
It wasn't really, for whatever reason, it's one of those accidents.
A flipped car?
I'll show you a picture during the news. But yeah, it was a flipped car. And I was surprised at how well traffic was. I got out of the car to make sure everyone was okay. It didn't happen in front of me, but I happened upon it when I was coming to work. And it's a rolled up. I mean, like, you just sit there and go, you ever see an accident? You go, I cannot believe everyone was okay. I got out of the car to check and make sure because the emergency responders were not there yet. It must have just happened. Everyone was out of the car. They were all okay. They were sitting down kind of, no blood, no, everyone waved me off. I was like, you know, someone was already calling. You don't want to create, you know, a traffic jam down there because Lower Wacker, people coming around those corners pretty fast. Everyone acts like it's a no man's land. It's like Mad Max on Lower Wacker.
Well, that's where the chuds are.
Exactly. You got to watch out for the chuds coming out of the sewers. So if you are in the downtown area by any chance, it's not going to be on. It just happens that there is a, I'm sure they're still clearing
it's
that accident.
It's tricky to turn.
Now, where
there.
Was it down?
It was right at the corner of Illinois and the Lower Wacker.
Okay.
So
I can picture it. That's a tricky intersection.
I will show. I can't believe you didn't see it on your way. Oh, you took the.
I didn't drive it.
That's right. That's right. I'll show you. I'll send it to Esmeralda.
There's no parking spots for me anymore.
Oh, that's, yeah.
For
anybody.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. I know, Pam. I'm sorry. That is your news.
Is the news, right? That's all I'm saying. On 720 WGN. Back to you, Patty. How about that? How about them apples? Because I'm not down with this $20 a night thing. No more. I got to say. I'm just.
I wish I could carpool with you or something.
Well, it's $20. I mean, that was the cheap one that I found today. You know, a couple doors down from where we are. I found $13 on the weekend shift that I work.
God,
and
man.
That was like the cheapest I could find.
Yeah.
So
it's not great.
Wow.
It's not great. I'm saying we have to get a shuttle from somewhere.
I only make $20. Well, I mean, really? No, I'm joking.
No, I understand. I understand completely. Well, let's turn the news over. When we come back, we'll have some more conversation. Maybe Scott can come up with a trivia. I have a great book. No, I have a great book I want to give away. We also have a little kid's first big book of Y2, the follow-up to the best-selling book from the National Geographic kids.
Uh-huh.
So if you have something, like, we'll come up with some way to give that away for somebody who would like to win a prize.
Let's have
for
some
a child.
Kids call in.
All right, 312.
Wake them up.
Well, here we go. 312-981-7200. But it's kind of a colorful with. It's got. It answers most of kids' their burning question why questions, paired with 200 colorful photos that also have age appropriate text. So if we have any kids out there that would like to win this book, 312-981-7200.
Should they be in bed?
Yeah, and they really should not be listening to my newscast because I had a story in the middle. That yeah, no.
Okay, never mind. Go to bed.
After the news.
Go to bed right now.
Right after the news, you can listen.
Right after the news. Well, let's get to that news. We want to congratulate Carnival. Because you know, for years, Fulton Market has come to life, and I think that I think Carnival had a lot to do with that. Years ago, when I was young, I'm not going to say how old I was. It used to be a place called The Drink, and I was so excited when something even better came along, and that was Carnival, just selected as one of Open Table's top 100 restaurants for a big night out in America. They have such great entertainment. The food is amazing. Whenever people come into town, I'm like, you gotta stop at Carnival. I mean, it's a feast for the, not just for the, you know,
your taste buds.
Your taste buds, but for your soul. Yes, for everything. Maria, come on closer to your microphone so we can hear your incredible voice. The closer you are, the more you can connect with our audience, and we'd love to hear you. Maria and Max join us in studio. Maria, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am the assistant general manager at Carnival, and it is my home.
It's your home?
It is my home.
How long has it been home for you?
Actually, I have been there since the restaurant opened, but
come on,
physically working for 5 months now.
Okay, that's wonderful. And Max, how long have you been with Carnival?
Well, I'm kind of in the similar scenario there. I was 11 years old when the restaurant opened. My father's one of the partners there, Jerry, but I've been working there for almost 6 years at this point.
And you have to feel good about being, I think, really a destination for Chicagoans.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
It's like being transported somewhere else. It's like, it's magical, and they have live music. I've been there for rumba. I've been there for Spanish dancing, you know, for flamenco.
Flamenco.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't even put the words together. It's so weird to have you in studio because I've been a fan for such long, for such a long time. You know, Mikey O, I know, used to do events there. Michael Kendo would do different musical, and I think we tried doing comedy, like, but that was a long time ago. So what are we celebrating? I know that you guys are very proud of everything you've done there.
You know, we celebrate everything there, but not just being known as a celebratory place. We want to be a place where you just walk in and just enjoy from the minute you get there until the minute you walk out the door.
You can eat
so
there
it doesn't
if you're
have
sad
to be a special
then.
Occasion. What'd you say?
You can eat there if you're sad too, man.
You yeah, will make not
you
feel be sad.
You won't
I promise
be sad when you,
you
leave.
From the minute you walk in that door, you just there's something that clicks inside your brain and you just are happy. You cannot help but be happy. You have just like the colors on the walls. There's different types of pictures, the tapestries, the unique chandeliers that are just absolutely exquisite.
Ooh, it's true. The art,
and
yeah,
then
the artwork's
you get the
great.
Smell of the food, and there's so much hustle and bustle going around in the dining room. You got a separate lounge that is just super swanky and sexy. Ooh. It is just
I love
amazing.
A chandelier, don't you, Patty?
Well, and because the ceilings, it's like an old warehouse. I think it's an old warehouse, so it's a massive ceiling, and it's so dramatic. Everything that's in there feels like it was so precisely chosen. I mean, you know, you could have a big space and you can, you know, put colorful things up, but the way you tie it all together, but as you mentioned, the energy of it brings everything home.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's just like a big, huge explosion when you walk in there.
Yeah. That might be a feeling, explosion of feeling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for some people.
Tell us a little bit about the title, because I was trying to explain. I said, I guess Latin fusion sounds weird, but I'm not quite sure.
But that's exactly what
good.
It is. It's a global Latin fusion. So taking it from the Latino, you know, of course, roots, and then kind of like making it our own. Putting a little twist on everything that we do. Chef Rodolfo is just amazing at everything that comes out of that kitchen.
What are some of the most fabulous fused dishes?
Well, you have a bunch. We have typical Latin American dishes like guacamole and archeras and churrascos and ropa viejas.
I'm sure the guacamole is excellent, but give me some drama.
We have a lot of twists on everything. Like the ropa vieja, typically if you were in Cuba, you would come and it would be on a plate with rice and beans and the braised beef would be separate, but we use veal cheeks instead. It comes in a dried balanga shell with ají amarillo aioli and pickled onions and queso fresco. That's just like a signature item right there.
Can we go now?
And that was actually just to put a little plug in right now. We were on the Travel Channel and we had a segment on World Paradise that they did feature our ropa vieja.
What?
Yay!
I love that. I love that. I love that you guys are you continue to, I think, dazzle people. You know, whether it's locals or people who are coming into town. I think that there's so much word of mouth. Whenever people ask me where to go, I'm like, you gotta go to Carnival. That's just the great thing about it. Max, what have you seen as a kid who started, you know, your family started in this business when you were, at least at this destination, when you were 11. What has been the most interesting thing for you as a, you know, growing up with this and with the Carnival in your life?
You know, it's so unique because you experience it from so different many perspectives. You're a kid and pretty much you're like a kid, but you're also a customer. But as well, you get to run around in the kitchen and you get to like grab food off the line. But then you start working in there. you start working there, you're professional, and you go from busing to hosting, managing, bartending, all these different positions. And you just, when I love the industry, which I do, it's just such a great feeling to be in a place like that and to work there on a daily basis. It's undescribable, pretty much.
So is your family from Chicago, or
well,
did you guys move here for the restaurant industry?
My father's side is originally from Ukraine. He came here when he was 7. But my mother's family is from pretty much like all over the place. I can't.
From Chicago.
Yeah.
From Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah. What part did you grow up in?
And Southside.
Southside. So when you were growing up, what did food mean to you in your life, Maria?
My grandparents from Italy had their own Italian restaurant. So being in the industry all my life and being around that, it meant home. It meant like a sense of gathering and a place to share and just love and just give. It's like every occasion that I can remember, every single Sunday, we had people over and everybody was always in the kitchen. That's where we spent all of our time. And growing up and getting older and older and older and like kind of like installing that into, you know, both of our kids, that's how their life has been as well. We have people over every holiday and we hang out in the kitchen.
Oh,
we have a
lovely.
Big, huge space, but it's just, That's what it means to me. It means family.
I feel like this needs to be a date night for you. I know that you've got two little ones.
I'm feeling so embarrassed right now that I haven't been here.
Shame.
It sounds like such a Chicago destination.
There's no shame.
Scott, have you been in?
No, but I was being quiet.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Thanks for outing me,
yeah.
John. Awesome.
Well, you also have a great. I think we can fix all of that by maybe. Okay, this is on Thursday. I don't know if I can go on Thursday. They are having magic.
You know, we were on WGN this morning.
I heard you were on WGN this morning.
Ken Mate was on, dazzling and tantalizing people with his visuals. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Until 9, we're starting off with a little bit of tapas menus, and then we're going to do open bar and then an hour magic show. It should be very, very exciting.
Michael, now I know why you brought Michael.
I am so in.
Michael is our producer, loves magic, and and he also loves extraordinary food and mm-hmm. cocktails, and I think that I can understand. Michael's like, wait a minute, we got to talk to Carnival.
Yes. Yes.
Let's take a break here. Learn more about that. Actually, let me make sure people know about that. So it's Magic Night, including a reception with appetizers, a tapas bar, close-up magic, followed by a stage performance of Comedy and Illusion. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9:30. And you can go to carnivalchicago.com. Carnival. Because that means
don't
there's an extra
the
E.
Yes.
Don't forget the E. Chicago.com. More with our guests. We have John Tatey in studio with us, Scott Stantis, Max, and Maria. And Maria celebrating something in just a little bit. So let's toast her in just a moment. More on 720 WGN. Carnival is one of Chicago's just wonderful food destinations, and I'm so excited to have Maria, who is the assistant general manager, and Max, who's manager and bartender. By the way, Max, I was looking at some images of the cocktails you guys make. They look pretty spectacular. Tell us a little bit about the things that you like whipping up for guests.
So a couple of my favorite signatures are the Old Cuban and the Mayo Well. The Old Cuban's kind of like a play on a mojito. It actually comes from New York, from a Pegu Club. It's based off of old rum. It has bitters, cava, a little simple syrup and lime juice shaken with some mint. And then once you do all that, you top it off with that cava. It's amazing. The Mayo Well is like an upscale margarita pretty much. It comes in a coupe glass, salt rim, orange peel. It's got an avion añejo. It has a Cointreau Noir, some lime juice, a little bit of agave nectar, and that's shaken, strained into the coupe. That's amazing, too.
You know, I'm picky about my margaritas because for, like, when I was younger and you're a kid, you have a margarita and you don't care about the triple sec and mm-hmm. the syrupiness of the their, like, you know, bottled juices like lemon juice. And then someone made me a real margarita with real lime, and there's something that changes for you when you taste the way something can be or is intended to be. Have you ever had it? I mean, I'm sure you've had it. Do you like margaritas?
Yeah.
So, and there's
I don't know if I've ever had a proper one like you have.
I like ones that have Grand Marnier or, as you mentioned, Cointreau. What kind of Cointreau?
So we use Cointreau for our regular margaritas, but we have Cointreau Noir, which is made with brandy as well. So it's like kind of a mix.
Mm. Yes, please. Mm. So Grand Marnier is a bit like an orange brandy.
Yeah.
And so that sounds like this is a little mm-hmm. bit more of a thicker liquor to put in there. Is there a difference between when you, because so many people like their, you know, the slushy type margaritas. There's a difference when you shake it, strain it, and have it in that way.
Yeah, because so when you have like drinks like that, when it's blended, you just get a lot of dilution, so you're getting a lot of water in your drinks. When mm-hmm. you have it shaken and strained and it's just pretty much straight up, you just get the fresh flavors of all the ingredients, and you don't have any of that extra liquid in there that's gonna kind of like mess up the flavors of what we're going for.
For the record, Max actually sneered when you mentioned the blender.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so did I.
I know. Well, no, but like, I'll go out with my friends and they'll say, you know, they want it blended. And I, as a bartender who just worked in a neighborhood joint, you know, whenever someone would ask me for something blended, I was like, it's broken.
So, yeah. Hey, I started out as a bartender. I remember those days when people would order, I want a daiquiri, I want a margarita. Sorry, the blender doesn't work.
Well, shaken only.
Yes, and when you show them how something, I mean, a lot of people all have their tastes and their mm-hmm. preferences. I mean, I had a lady that came into the bar and would order a pint of hams, and you had to put salt and pepper in the bottom first and pour the beer on top. I mean, like, people have their tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have your people who like their martinis with just a sliver of ice on the top.
Right.
And it took me a long time to learn how to do that. I said, wasn't, you know, you, some people need a little more training.
Salt and pepper on the bottom of the glass. Is this a thing?
It was a thing for her. I mean, I could see salt in the beer, but I don't, the pepper thing. But,
salt, sure.
But the first time I gave it to her, she said hams with salt and pepper. So I poured it and I put the salt. She saw me put the salt and pepper on top and she got very angry. And so I never did that again. Well, for her $2 hams. That
it's, yeah, I was going to say, it's hams. From the,
you got to add some flavor in there.
From sky blue waters.
Yeah, from the wind of sky
nice
blue
burn,
waters.
Well done. Yeah, it's, but you do have people, I'm sure even at Carnival, people have questions, but mm-hmm. I bet you guys are like, we will make this, you know, an experience for you.
We do. And we accommodate. We really do. We do whatever we can do. But as far as the drink program, our beverage program is incredible. Everything is fresh.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite?
Honestly, I'm gonna have to probably go with I'm an old fashioned girl. And I like I'm a mezcal girl.
Oh.
So Max actually makes a really great old fashioned that's made with mezcal.
Hello.
I was just gonna ask you about your old fashioned.
Yeah.
Applause from the crowd. Yes. The audience cheers.
Yeah.
And so mezcal has a bit of a smoky
nice little smoky flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
It's definitely an acquired taste, I think. But you know what? Once you get used to it, it's something that you you kind of like crave after once in a while.
And as far as the menu goes, what are some of your favorite things? I know you said the ropa vieja.
Vieja is always, I mean, that's like one of our staples. We've only changed it a handful of times since we've been open. It'll be 13 years for us as well at the end of September on the 28th. But
gosh, has it been that long? You guys have been there?
Yeah.
I feel like I was just a kid and people wanted to borrow my ID to get into the drink. I can't.
I was at the drink too.
Yeah, we were probably there together. Yeah. That was a fun day. Can you believe you were at the drink and now it's your restaurant?
I can't.
I love that it became that. I mean, it was parts of my life that evolved with me.
Yeah.
You know, staying up until 2-3 in the morning drinking and dancing. And
then going to there was a little truck that was always parked outside. Oh, going to get a panini or something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Uh-huh. Yeah, what do you know?
You just gotta agree sometimes.
You weren't even a thought then. You were like, wait.
Yeah.
That was not even a thought in my memory then.
It is a great building. It's a great restaurant. I love now knowing the restaurateurs that make it all happen. This is a pleasure. And it's also my pleasure that in less than 2 minutes now, it will be your birthday, Maria.
Woo!
We're celebrating with you.
Thank you.
I know that they've brought something for you as well. Happy. Look at that. We don't have any candles, but happy.
Oh, and birthday. You know what? You didn't even ask me what my favorite thing was, and I was going to say.
Yeah, I did ask you what your favorite was.
No, not for food.
Oh, and that's what I was going to get to.
I'm a dessert girl. I love this dessert girl. Yeah, absolutely.
So what is this? What is this cake that they've brought you?
Coconut cream cake. Oh. It is fantastic, and everybody has to have a little taste of it. But yeah, all the desserts are made in house as well.
I wish we had. I don't travel with candles.
With cakes?
With candles.
Oh, okay. Because you're digging in your purse. I'm going,
I have
I'm
matches.
Like, wow.
Can you just hold
what
a match?
She pulling out
while
of that
she,
bag?
So she can blow out the match.
Sure,
like, I guess while we
see. We have 1 minute.
We have 1 minute. All right. So when it's before we go to the news, we'll. I can't sing happy birthday.
Wait, can I just tell you that my daughter is a singer?
Oh, then can we just have her sing?
Yes.
Do it.
Come on, come over by me.
She goes to a music school. I mean, you know, it's the least she can do for her mother on her birthday.
To sing happy birthday on the radio to her. So everybody else, we're just going to have her daughter sing happy birthday to Maria. What's your name again?
Alaya.
Come on over close to the microphone.
Hi.
Hello. There we go. All right, you take it away.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear mom. Happy birthday to you.
Blow that match out.
Yay! Hey, we made it.
And right now, it just became your birthday right now. The clock just turned midnight.
Happy birthday to you.
Congratulations, Maria. Elia, that was beautiful singing. Thank you so much for doing that for your mom. That was wonderful. Thank you to our friends from Carnival. We'll hang out we're going to go to the news. We'll hang out with you guys. Again, go to carnivalchicago.com for all the great events they have coming up, including later on tonight, which is Magic Night, including a reception with appetizers, a tapas bar, up close magic, followed by a stage performance of Comedy and Illusion. You can go to carnivalchicago.com. And I'm sure you can go online and find clips of you guys on WGN Morning News with Paul Conrad. Thank you so much, Max. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Happy birthday. Thank you. That was so exciting. I can't believe we were here for that. We said goodbye to our friends from Carnival, and they said, oh my God, we forgot to talk about what we came here for, which was to talk about Father's Day. And, okay, this is awkward because my husband listens to my show the next day. So I was on the expressway on my way back to the studio tonight, and I drove by a billboard that said, this Father's Day, don't forget. I'm like, oh! I forgot Father's Day. So for families like mine who have forgotten that Father's Day is this Sunday, what do you have planned for Father's Day at Carnival?
We have a beautiful brunch buffet. So it Ooh. Is going to be cocktails and everything that you can imagine that you would have at a unlimited buffet. You'll have an omelet station, carving station, a taco station. We have all different types of beautiful fruits, exotic fruits, tropical fruits, regular old bananas, whatever you want. There'll be all different types of smoked salmon and chorizo, salami, ham. We do a lot of the curing of the bacon and sausages in-house, so that's something
special. I tried some of your bacon. That was amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
And then just a wonderful array of different homemade pastries. I mean, it's beautiful. We decorate it just beautifully as far as the buffet is concerned.
Do you traditionally do brunches every week?
For special occasions, okay. We'll do a buffet, but we are open for brunch every single Sunday, and that's just an off-the-menu thing.
Excellent. Yeah. So what a great way to celebrate Father's Day. Are you, Scott, do you have plans for your...
I do, but I'm not going to be in the state.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to be down south.
Down south. Where are you going?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeehaw.
Right. Yeehaw?
I don't think do they say yeehaw.
I don't know.
They don't, but,
it
kinda sounded but right
a
now
bit
they do.
They say hey y'all.
Hey y'all.
Hey y'all.
Watch
hey, y'all.
This. Hold my beer.
How about bless his heart?
Oh, well, that comes at the end of saying something incredibly scurrilous and horrible about somebody.
Michael, can you mark down the words that we don't often use on the show and put add scurrilous to it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Scurrilous.
I believe Professor Mikaitis also used some words that I was...
Oh.
My husband is like, you know, you messed up the way he said his own words that he was using. Hemogany. No, hegemony. What did he say last night? And I was like, I had to look it up.
Yeah, I thought he said Heidemann five times in a row.
Bellicosity.
Milt Rosenberg's show once, and he was... another cartoonist was supposed to show up a few minutes before he bailed. So Milt says, do you want to just be you and I then? I go, oh, great. I didn't really know. And then halfway through the show, I'm making a word up because I swear to God, the man made words up.
Yeah.
He says, your work is very crenuncious.
That's a nice one.
Well, I just made that up because I have no idea.
It's what it sounded like to you.
So my response was, sure.
See, and that's the thing is that, and Professor Mikaitis thought I was making fun of him. I'm like, no, we should be elevating the conversation, you know? But it's all good. I wish I had played Scrabble. Did you play Scrabble growing up?
I did
Steve?
Not. Not for no, I did once in a while, not a whole bunch though. Probably should have played more.
And Steve Van Dinter joins us in studio, by the way. Scott Stantis in studio with us, Max and Maria from Carnival. What do you have planned for your Father's Day?
For me?
For your dad.
So we're going to celebrate ours a week later. I've got a friend's bachelor party that I'm going to this weekend in Las Vegas. So we will
on
be...
On a Sunday?
Trouble.
Well, no, we're leaving, though, a Thursday night. We're coming back on Sunday night. So, okay. And then I'm going straight from there to New Jersey for work. So we're going to celebrate a week later. You know, it'll be good. That way my dad can go spend some time with his dad. So, you know, it's going to all work out.
There you go. Well, excellent.
Your grandfather's still with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And what about your family? Is there anything planned besides having to work on Father's Day?
Well, yeah, I was going to just say I will be working that night.
I'll be working in the morning. I'll be working as well.
Yeah. Did you work Mother's Day, too?
LA, yes. So.
Your father lives in L.A.?
Yeah.
All right, well, just call him at least.
Yeah, we'll do some FaceTime. That works out always.
FaceTime is always
connecting
weird.
Everyone everywhere.
It's the best. I got to tell you, as a parent, it's the best. The fact that you can see your kid's face, oh, it's wonderful.
I FaceTime today from the from Pearl Vision to ask my husband if he liked the glasses I was picking out.
Nice.
Is this Steve?
Yes. He doesn't believe that my husband exists because...
I have met him.
For hours.
That's what people say, but...
Yes. Yeah, have you really not met my husband?
I've not... No.
All right.
And you had some kid at a restaurant once you claimed was your son.
Griffin, yes.
I have met the entire family.
Yes.
They exist.
Yeah.
Unless you rented them that day.
No.
That
we were... which, what casting? Wouldn't that be great casting? There would be incredible. Well, you know what's funny, actually? I don't think I've ever brought Declan. So I have a son who has a disability that's similar to autism. And I just realized what a great space, I think, it would be to take him to Carnival.
Oh, he would love it.
Oh my God, because there's so much to take in. He's a very visual and auditory kid, mm-hmm. so like mm-hmm. anything that has that is acoustically wonderful, and I know that your space does. I can't believe it just occurred to me, because when my husband and I go out for date night, you know, we stay close to home. And because we need to be in case there's an emergency, or they, you know, they need us at home for Declan or for Griffin. But I just realized I should take the whole family to Carnival. I don't know why I never that, you know, because I guess I always think of it, as you mentioned earlier, it's kind of sexy, but it's so vibrant and exactly. and welcoming, and it feels like family. So.
But we are kid friendly.
Of course.
I mean, we are so kid friendly. We got a lot of families in there over the weekends. Earlier, I would say, you know, when we write, probably around 5 o'clock yeah. until around 8.
Yeah.
And Sunday's all about family.
Expect us, because Declan's
family
a walker.
And industry.
Family and industry.
Yeah,
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, family and industry.
Same Sunday, thing, Sunday night. Much.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. Well, I love that. Well, thank you so much. So Father's Day, this Sunday, you've got an incredible brunch for everybody with a carving table, with fresh fruit, whatever it was, taco bar, everything that anything that anyone would want for brunch is going to be at Carnival.
Yes.
This Sunday. Again, happy birthday, Maria.
Thank you.
Thank you, Max, for sharing
Thank
your passion.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. We look forward to seeing you at the new location when we move in.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be there.
Excellent. And we'll be at your restaurant. I think that's going to be the next, because I've lost one of my favorite restaurants. So I need to find a new location for us. So I think you'll see the team over there.
We will welcome you with open arms.
I believe it. You walked in and hugged me right away. I'm like, my deodorant gave out hours ago. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Watch Micah Mater and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10. It is it's the Patty Vasquez Show, and we are thrilled to welcome in studio Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune. And I asked him in tonight because he'll be traveling starting on Thursday. He's usually here on Thursday nights, but this will be the last time you are in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Oh, man. Now you're bumming me out, dude.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much for joining us on a nondescript night where nothing really special is happening except for the fabulous people from Carnival.
Yay.
Who are taking leave.
Happy
Bye,
birthday,
everybody.
Maria.
And I feel like I'm doing a mashup because also, Joe, because you're usually here on Thursdays.
Yes.
And so you get to hang out with John Tatey, which was a blast.
Which is awesome.
And now another one of my frequent Tuesday night guests, Steve Van Dinter, joins us for Tech Tuesday. And as soon as I told you he was our tech guy from Verizon, you're like, good, I have questions.
I love it.
You must get that. You're like a doctor for people, aren't you?
You know, it is. Family gatherings, social events, you name it, people tend to ask quite a few questions. I don't mind it, though. Like I said, I love technology in general, kind of something that I've always...
Do you
always...
feel offended by if you're like at a party and people... Is it working?
Honestly, no. Like, I would prefer like helping you figure it out, because I don't want you to be frustrated by it, because I really do believe that tech helps make our lives easier. As much as it frustrates a lot of people, sometimes it's frustrating because we don't take the time to actually think about what we can do with it or how it can help or to learn it. And that's...
Can I ask a crazy question?
Yeah. I'll ask all the questions.
Okay. Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
I was looking for, because time management is a real problem for me, because a lot of my job as a cartoonist is staring blankly into space, which really is part of the process.
Yep.
I don't draw a lot. I don't sketch a lot. I just kind of stare and look like something's wrong with me. But if I'm looking for something like an app for time management, mm-hmm. and I go, okay, time management, boop, and I go to the app store, and there's a bazillion of them.
Right.
How do you, I mean, help me.
So what are you looking to get out of it? Are you looking to have it like, because I've got a suggestion for you if you want it to find time in your calendar for you, kind of block some time out for you. Google released last year as part of their Google Calendar update. I don't know if you use Google Calendar at all.
I do.
But, okay. So there's a little red plus button on the bottom right-hand side of
these. I'm writing this down.
So you click on it and click on goals, and they've actually got set up a lot of goals that people already have thought of before. So things like scheduling me time, scheduling brainstorming time. What it's going to do is, as you add to your calendar, and let's say you tell the Google goals that you want to do it 3 times a week, or you want to fit it in 4 times a week for 2 hours each, it will make sure that you make that happen. So it'll look at your calendar and automatically slot it in. And if you have a lunch comes up, or you got to go off to a different meeting, you plop it on your calendar, Google's going to automatically reschedule that me time to to make sure you get it. So it's nice because it does it automatically for you.
That's awesome.
I use it because I travel quite a bit for work, and I'm a runner and I like to get a run in. And for me, every time I change and I land in a new time zone, Google says, "Hey, welcome to Pacific time zone. Let's go ahead and reschedule those runs to make sure you get your evening run in." It's like, oh, come on, I'm tired. But you know, you see it on the calendar. It's like, well, maybe I should go ahead and do that.
Well, what if I, for me, God, I sound like such an adult. I just started doing to-do lists like in the last 10 months because a friend of mine who's crazy successful does that every morning.
Yep.
So I've started to do that. Now,
do you use an app like Todoist?
No, I ink on paper.
Okay.
ink on paper.
The nice thing about the apps is it's cloud-based. So if that paper ever blows off your table or accidentally gets thrown away, you've got a backup in the cloud so you can access from a desktop, from your tablet, from your phone. And it just makes it easier that way to...
Well, that's great. I mean, so that's... Okay, thank you.
Here's the kind of person I am. When Steve Van Dinter's in the studio, he's like, are you a Todoist? And you're asking that question. And then within a moment, I already downloaded that onto my phone because I trust his recommendations.
You're quick.
Well, that's because my Google Pixel, which was also...
Absolutely. Yes.
Let me just jump in here, but real quick though. But Google Calendar has done a few weird things over the last 10 months.
Okay.
One of them is to eat some of my appointments. So I give speeches or I have people come by the tower. At least I did. But it disappeared. Literally, like...
How did you schedule? Did you schedule them through the website or the app, or were they scheduled from an outside source?
Oh my gosh! Now I'm going to sound
What I'm asking is, did you initiate the calendar entry?
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't do it like through Outlook or something
No.
You actually did it through Calendar. That's weird. I'll have to look in and see. I've not heard of a bug like that. Haven't experienced it myself, but. It's not to
I've
say
had
it's
a couple
happening.
Of friends who've said the same thing, but we're all the same age, so we probably may have just forgotten.
Well, no.
As do you, Esmeralda, I'm sorry. I know that it's so weird that you're across the river. It's more than usual, right? Usually
right.
We like, I have to go to the left and make sure I talk to Ez. Do you use any apps for like any of the cookings that you do, or is there an app that you like to use on a regular basis?
I don't use any apps for cooking. I'm trying to think.
Because I use all recipes. Actually,
it's
used
a
to
great
have,
site.
All recipes is a great site. They used to have a really good app, and then they do Recipe Spinner, which isn't as good as I think their old app used to be.
Their website I use all the time.
Me too.
It's great to have a tablet, and I love being able to click on the ingredients that you've got on hand and then see what you can make with it.
Because
that's the thing. It's like you don't want to have to run out to the store.
How about you? Any recipe sites that you use or?
I don't. You know, I don't use any apps. I do use Google Drive.
Okay.
To kind of wrangle recipes and things that I like. And I use the Google Docs and stuff to make a food for the week. So then I get all my ingredients set up there. But I don't use any apps, oddly enough.
Well, that's a great way to organize.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of the things... That I did, like I'm not great with organizing in folders, but I'm really good with search. So I have a Google Doc that I have set up for every person or every team I would interact with. And when I have conversations, if I take notes, I can go back and I'll date them. So then I just control F and do a keyword for the topic and figure out what date, who I talked to about it. And then I have, you know, a quick summary of like what we discussed. Great way to refresh your memory, but also like keep track of like, when did that conversation happen? What did we talk about?
You can pretend you care. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, you can.
That's so organized.
Yeah.
What is
that's
it?
Awesome.
It's organized,
no, that's
but it's
awesome.
Not because
no, it's not.
Easy. You just leave a running document going called conversations with Patty if you wanted to. And not that I do that because I, you know, our conversations, of course, are way more special.
But
interact with a lot of different people, it's a great way to keep that kind of intact.
Well, there are comics. No, I mean, I wouldn't, even if you did, if you're like, well, you know, I covered this, what would I do next time? There's a comic name, a lot of people know who Brian Regan is. Brian Regan will keep track of what he does in radio interviews so he doesn't retread over material he's done before.
That's brilliant.
It
is.
That's
absolutely brilliant.
It's intense. Well, you know what's interesting about that is there's a radio show, Bob and Tom, which I have been a regular on for a long time. They would ask me, they often ask comics to submit 5 questions that will be prompts. And, you know, so I'll write them out and I'll like, you know, figure out what the materials that go with it, what tone I want to strike. And it never fails. I'll be all prepared. You never want to come in without it because it might be the one time.
Right.
Tom would always turn to me and go, "So you're Mexican and Irish. Tell me about your mom." So like I can't. And then the producer or the booker would be like, hey, Patty, next time you come in, you know, make sure you have some new material. I'm like, I have it every time. Michael, you've got to see. Someday I'm going to forward you the way they prep comics for the Bob and Tom show and like the very long email that you get and the things that you can and can't do and how to be ready for it. Oh, yeah.
You should see the email that I send to our comics. Just like 15 pages. It's a scroll.
Well,
the
cartoonist.
Crazy.
I
berate Scott before he gets on the show. Michael actually calls me and says, I need an app for this. And if I can't answer it, I don't get to go on that week.
Well, Fair enough. As you worked for other radio shows, were you ever a producer who had to deal with like with guests and organizing?
I didn't have to that extent.
Right.
I mean, you know, you would. I more had to deal with callers.
Oh.
So it was more prepping the callers.
Interesting. Well, okay, so this is a good moment. Let's take a moment here. We'll come back to tech in a second after the news. But for listeners who want to call in, what is your suggestion for the best way for people to be their best selves on the air?
So the big spiel, we always had this spiel, and I had it down to a science because we had to do it really quickly. Turn your radio down. Turn your radio all the way down. And don't swear. Get right to the point. Don't say hi. Don't say hello. Just get straight to what you're going to say.
Oh, so, and here's the thing, is that then the host, of course, is like, hey, how are you doing? Right?
System derailed.
Which has to be so confusing if listeners think that they're not supposed to. Someone should tell the host that just get right to it, Patty.
Well, usually the host would know. That's why you do say, don't say hi or hello.
Michael, you can tell me. You just put it, hey, don't say hello. Don't ask how they're doing. You know? Fair enough. All right.
Get right to the point. It's the same thing that we say over here at WGN usually.
Did you ever see the Amy Guth has done an extraordinary piece on it's like a prep sheet for people, in particular if it's their first time as a guest on a show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Like how to get ready for it, what to expect, you know, the pace, you know, how to organize what you want to get across, the what to give the host. Like if they have bullet points, you know, give it to the producers. The producer has that. Can maybe make sure the host is ready for whatever you
have.
That's
a spectacular idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to look that up. Maybe we should ask Amy Guth for that and just blast that out too. But there is something to be, I'm nervous when I'm on the phone. Like if I'm on the phone for Cochran's show or for John Williams' show, I would rather be in studio. You get really nervous on the phone. You can't make eye contact with anybody. So anyone who calls in the show, I am always so grateful that you join us. I love our texters too, by the way. Tom, before I get to what you said here, Tom, it was great to meet you in Mason City. Thank you so much for joining us at Mason City Limits. And he said, great broadcast on Carnival. And it's great to have, like, to hear from people. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go right to the news in just a moment. And I'll say hi every time you call. I can't help myself. Our friends from Carnival left behind the birthday cake, and we were in the producer's booth.
Yeah, okay.
That coconut cake was spectacular. Isn't that great?
What is in that besides love?
What?
That was the moment.
How did you know I was going to say love? You taste the same love. We are hanging in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's the Patty Vasquez Show.
Well, you can taste the love.
You can't? Oh, thank you. I think, what?
What? Oh, let's just move forward.
That's all right. My husband will hear it tomorrow. He does exist. Stop.
Yeah, sure. Steve.
That is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and member of the editorial board.
Yeah.
We also have Steve Van Dinter in studio. He is our Tuesday tech guru. He's on loan to us every once in a while from Verizon. We appreciate that.
Now,
Of course. Now, there was a big news story today that a judge had announced his decision at a hearing in regards to the AT&T and Time Warner merger. Now, a listener has a question about that. I don't know if we can help him or not. Michael, can you put John on the air? This phone no longer does that. I'm not sure. Like, everything's falling apart now. So that's
happening. Moved to the new studio.
That's right. Hey, John, how are you doing tonight?
Good morning, Patty. I got some new material to try out for when I open up for you at C2E2 next year. Are you ready for the joke?
All right, give me your joke.
I got to get in my Jack Foxworthy mode. Hang on just 1 second. That you're hosting a foreign exchange student and they think you're talking about a plant, you might be a redneck. Where's my rim shot?
Oh, I see. Michael will get that for you.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
I have a question for our guest host.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about this merger? Is it good, bad, and why do you think that way?
I don't think that. I think it's
good for the competition, but.
I think there are a lot. I think people are trying to see what the, not only this, but net neutrality. Everyone's trying to figure out where the chips are going to fall as far as who's it's good for, who it's good for, who it's bad for, how it's going to change rates, what the speed, you know, of the, your, you know, ability to watch something on Netflix is going to be. You know, our company's going to charge more money to have. Yes.
I just think AT&T buying a content provider is, what content will they give precedent to?
Right. They get to choose the winners and losers is a concern.
I got to admit, I mean, I'm a capitalist to my marrow, but this is, there's going to be, if things continue, there's going to be one company in the entire country that will own everything.
I still remember when Ma Bell got broken up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we had Sprint and Verizon and AT&T. I could not get Sprint out here in the boondocks when I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I had family back here. They had to piggyback off of AT&T's lines.
You were in Tulsa?
No, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay. That's where I went to college.
But you escaped.
But here in Logansport, Indiana, we are literally in the middle of nowhere. If you draw a line from South Bend to Indianapolis and a corresponding line from Lafayette to Fort Wayne, where that, those points intersect, if you go up and to the left, that's where Logansport, Indiana is. We are literally up and to the left of the middle of nowhere.
I didn't know nowhere was on the map, but now I know. Excellent.
Steve, what causes that? Why are there dead zones? I have friends in New York City, and there are dead zones around New York City.
So New York is
weird.
It depends on what you're defining as a dead zone. So in New York, what tends to happen is it has to do with the way that the radio waves propagate from a cell site. So if you think about it, your phone is actually a radio. The cell site that you're communicating to is a radio. They talk to each other. Things get in the way. So building materials, so concrete, stuff like that. So actually, if we didn't put in-building solutions into buildings like what we have in New York City and even in Chicago here, you wouldn't have
cell service.
So we actually put in hundreds of mini antennas throughout these large skyscrapers. If we didn't, they would completely block the signal because they're cement and metal.
Well, it also has, I mean,
in on this conspiracy?
I'm sorry about that, yes.
Yeah, so they're, we called it in-building DAS, or distributed antenna systems. And what they do is they act as little mini cell sites throughout the building itself, making sure that, you know, your experience inside is as good as outside. Now, we're not in every building, and that can, of course, affect your cell signal. So more common, you'll see, especially if they're in apartment complexes, unlike an office building where we can get in and put them all over the place. Apartments are a little bit harder.
I dropped calls in my apartment.
Yeah, and that's because there's no antenna system typically throughout apartment buildings.
One of the weirdest things was when we were at a parent-teacher meeting and they were basically telling us that a cell phone company was going to rent out the roof of the grade school that's a strange moment where you're like, grade schools are, the roofs are being rented out for cell carriers.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, it's actually a pretty exact science when it comes to where they place them, because if you put a cell site too close to each other, you know, can interfere. I mean, there's a lot of different things that the engineers are looking at. There's usually a number of sites that they'll say, this is an area that we want. And sometimes schools will come forward and say, hey, you know, put it on our site.
One more question, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
My sister, who lives in Logansport, we're about 40, 45 miles away from West Lafayette. She likes to listen to the Indiana Public Radio Station, which is on AM. And I'm trying to explain to her in the best way I can why she has problems getting in during certain times of the day. I try to explain to her, well, it kind of depends on a number of things. It depends on what time of day it is. It depends on the strength of their signal. It depends on the strength of your signal to receive their signal.
You know, John, she could just stream it online.
I was just going to say that.
Unfortunately, we're not rich enough to afford that technology, to be honest. Neither one of us has smartphones.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
I'm getting you in on a Bose radio.
Oh! I'm glad
that's
to hear
adorable.
That. Now,
the other thing too, though, you know, it's time of day is important because of how the sun and other solar activity interacts with radio frequencies, as well as the ionosphere. You can get some bounces off of there when conditions are right. I mean, we were picked up at Kennedy Space Center in Florida a couple months ago.
Wow.
I
would tell her that growing up in the house that we lived in on a hill, I was able to pick up stations. This was years ago. I was able to radio stations from Toronto, Austin, Philadelphia, New York. I mean, just over, then there was when it was dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, John, one of my favorite memories is driving cross country and going on the AM band and just seeing what you could pick up, because you'd hear like Seattle.
Yes, it's great to be able to hear conversations from places that you've never been, or just to see what the flavor is of that town, or those, or even just those people. That's why it's one of the things I love about being on WGN Radio. And I do love that you can now, you know, if you have an app like iHeartRadio, I will go ahead and like see what they're saying politically in Kansas. Or, you know, I look for news talk all over the country just to see what the similarities and differences are between what we're doing and what they're doing.
Well, one of my favorite moments recently was I was driving around Birmingham, Alabama with my daughter-in-law. It was around midnight. And I was talking, WGN, 38 states and parts of Canada. And she said, oh, that's just not true. That's a bunch of crap. And I go, no. Go to the AM, hit 720, and we heard Patty Vasquez as clear as crystal.
Yeah, that's one of the things people are kind of struggling with as far as our shows when we switch to the new hour. But look, next week, 4 nights out of 5, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we are going to be on after the Sox game until 1 a.m. So it's a little bit shorter, but we'll be here. We'll pack it with a lot of fun. Me and Andre are going to have a lot of the same guests. We already booked John Tatey and Scott Santos for next week whenever Steve Van Dinter is in town. You'll hear all the regular segments. It's still the Patty Vasquez show, and we're still going to have a great time. Hey, by the way, John, if you have any friends that live in Indianapolis, I know one of my favorite comedy clubs in the country, Crackers Comedy Club.
Yes,
such a great venue. And if you know anyone that's looking for a serving job or a bartending or wants to work in a comedy club, Crackers Comedy Club is hiring in Indianapolis.
Well, if this cartooning thing doesn't work out.
I think the former Colts punter, who just is in the comedy business now, his name escapes me, but he's performed there.
Oh, I'll have to look him up.
And I just heard of Bob Zaney from the Bob and Tom Show on the radio from a cut that was taped a year ago.
Bob, you know what?
On a show.
I can't tell you.
1 year ago today.
I can't tell you some of the evenings that Bob Zaney and I hung out on the road, like doing, we talked politics. Bob Zaney and I would talk politics until 2 or 3 in the morning, but we also walked, we were in El Paso, and we walked to the border with Texas and Mexico, because Juarez is supposed to be one of the most dangerous cities, I know. But, you know, they were like, oh, you got to go with us because you're the Mexican. Esmeralda will attest to my vast ability to handle the Spanish language.
Bring the Mexican.
And also to look Mexican. As do you think that that white folks should feel comfortable if I'm their escort to the Mexican border to be their Mexican?
Sure.
Hey, John, have a great night. It's good to hear your voice.
You too, honey. Look forward to seeing you next year.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. But yeah, Bob Zaney and the guy, Donnie Baker, but we're both like, we want to go see Juarez. We want to go see this border. And I was like, all right, let's walk down.
Yeah, there are people doing their lives, and you could be, you're fine. Is his last name really Zaney?
Bob Zaney is his. I've never asked if it was his. I never ask comics if their stage name is their real name, because there are many of us. I use a stage name. I use a stage name that is part of, it's a family name, so it is a name that's on all of my records, but it's not my legal last name. I know a lot of comics' real last names. It's funny because I like sometimes I'll be in charge of their checks if I'm paying it at a venue. Yeah, a lot of us go by pseudonyms. Actually, you know, radio show hosts do as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a little strange.
So, by the way, from the 217, I love that the 217 is, I'm loving these kind of, because I can't catch up with them because it goes all the way back to our trying the cake, and which is coconut is a fruit. So, also the 217, Esmeralda, I'm so glad that we asked Jen Zanotti about eating and nutrition wise. What you want to? She was saying that every meal should have a little bit of protein, a little bit of good carb, and good fats, like an avocado and olive oil or nuts would be good fats.
Does coconut on your cake count?
Yeah, I don't think so. But Jen would also say, you know, also have fun, because if you start to restrict yourself and feel like, oh, I can't, you will fight against that. you know, and you start feel like you're punishing yourself, and then you end up eating everything. Right. Right.
Well, I can afford
coconut's
the cake.
A good fat.
Yeah, it's a great fat.
I mean, with all that sugar and flour,
it's still a great fat.
I think it's the case. Yeah, I don't even.
Tastes better that way.
It's very tasty. So again, I the 217. I'm loving these like quick. It's almost like haiku texts to us. I listen to WGN radio on internet. I listen to WGN on internet radio. Signal bounce. Just that's what we were talking about.
Yep.
They also said shielding. I don't think we mentioned that was kind of the conversation as well.
Shielding? Yep. Wait, what?
Shielding.
What is this? Is this a...
Oh, the 217 does know Bob Zaney because he wanted to know if Bob Zaney's cigar got to me. I guess you'll have to tune in when I'm on 7-Eleven from now on. More after this on 720 WGN. I feel like we're just taking it easy. This is the best way to learn about tech, you know.
That's right, man.
Nice and slow.
Nice and slow.
Chill, man. Let's take a ride.
I was asking Steve Van Dinter, our Tech Tuesday guru, on loan to us every once in a while from
totally
Verizon.
Groovy guy. Yeah.
Totally groovy guy. Perfect. This is some good. Michael, what are we? What exactly? What kind of mood are you trying to set with this? You can let it play the whole time. Will we get in trouble for just letting it roll?
No way. This is some smooth Jill Scott.
Oh,
the way.
Hey, the way. Yeah. Scott Santos is digging it.
The way, man.
I was asking Steve Van Dinter about the Google Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. Is it Google?
It is Google
operating system.
Yep, it uses a Chrome OS, which is basically a cloud-based operating system. But it's becoming very popular because they first launched the Chromebooks as being truly, you had to have an internet connection to make them work, to really do anything with them.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's evolved, they've now got the ability to run Android apps. You can download things onto your device itself, so you can use them with or without an internet connection. They're really becoming popular in schools for a lot of reasons. One, price point, but two, just ease of use. You can't mess them up, Scott. I know we were talking earlier about some Ooh. Tech and that always that concern
yes,
of like...
Yes, we can.
I will challenge you to try to mess it up. But no, that's the nice thing about that. And they never slow down. The way the operating system is architected, I've had one for 5 years. I got for like $200 or $150 5 years ago. I've been waiting for it to die because I want to buy a new one. It just doesn't. And it hasn't gotten any slower.
That's
so
great.
I have no reason to like,
take
you know.
It in the shower. See what happens.
Well, yeah, then it would. Wow. Yeah, you're right. Then it'd be gone. But no, it's great because I got one for my parents. My grandparents have one. It's very easy for them to use.
Oh my God! I'm sorry. He just handed it to me. It weighs nothing.
Yeah. And close it. I mean, look how thin it is. What he's got though is this would be the Cadillac of the Chromebook series. This is the Google Pixel Book,
which is considerably less than the MacBook Pro.
It is, yes. It's on the high end for the Chromebooks, but you're right. It certainly comes in less than a MacBook. Very sleek design. You can use it in four different ways. So Patty's got it open right now in what's called laptop mode. So you know, looks like a traditional laptop. Works just the same.
It is a
touchscreen, Patty. So I can't tell if she's behind a monitor.
She's already touching it.
All right, cool. So it's got a touchscreen. on it, but if you fold it now into a tent, you can use it as
backwards.
Yep, you can't break it.
Watch
it
me.
Literally goes 360 degrees.
Accept it.
So you can use it in tablet mode. So if you were trying to prop it up to watch a video, you can fold it all the way into a tablet. And the other thing is, if you put it at a 90 degree angle with the keyboard down,
back.
Absolutely, it goes into a tablet mode. Look at her.
What?
Yeah, there we go. Your face. I mean, it's so expressive. People at home can't see it.
I get nervous.
No, this is incredible.
Do you remember when you told me to throw this phone?
I can draw on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. I'm done for next hour.
Yeah. There's a Pixel Pen. If you're of course, Scott, you're an artist. So there's a Pixel Pen, so you can actually draw on the screen.
I do almost all my work now on an iPad.
Okay. So. Yeah. So it works just like that. You know, I love. Like I said, you can't get over the fact that something starts up from completely off to up and running in 7 to 10 seconds. Like, that continues to baffle my mind every time I do it with mine at home. And it's so nice when I look at my other laptops that are in the house and I just grab my Chromebook because I'm like, I really just want to do what I want to do and get off the internet. And those are great for that.
Can he use this on there?
Is that the
Samsung?
It may work. I don't know if that one works.
Let me see.
You can try it.
I usually have some.
The ones with the rubber tips, the ones that are made for touchscreens, will work on that.
I usually have one in my purse.
Here. I'm just,
all
I'm
right. Just, like, have fun with your finger then.
There you go. How's that?
Cue the music.
Bon chicken, bon.
Hey, that looks good. Right, I like it.
There's the Donald.
I was going to say, it looks like Trump.
That's
there we go.
Gee.
Oh, look at that.
I'm going to save this picture.
You did that with your finger?
Yeah. I mean, this is impressive. I can't even draw.
Can you save that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't even draw, like, if you gave me the proper tools.
Show it to Michael, what he just did with his finger. It's okay, Scott. You can giggle.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about.
That's an impressive finger.
That is very impressive.
Well, thank
well
you.
Well drawn.
Thank you.
Hold on one sec. Here we go. There. That's what I was looking for.
I just drew that with my finger. Oh, yeah.
The other fun thing I found out, you know, not only this is a great gift for dad, but it's great for a traveling person too. So what I was doing earlier this week, I was like feverishly writing a podcast that I was working on, and you know, I was on the plane and they were, you know, talking about the thunderstorms and it was delaying our flight, of course. And so I'm sitting there typing away, and then of course we got the go just as I'm having this creative moment of like, I need to keep going, and they're like, put your laptops away. So the flight attendant walks up, you got to put your laptop away. I folded it into a tablet. You can use tablets.
Which makes no sense, of course.
Right.
Oh, see,
so I was able to get beyond that and continue. I had typed on the screen at that point, but it was certainly a way to make that.
Well, let me ask you, because now, I mean, and we just had a cartoonist friend of mine from Australia come, and he did leave. Just so you know, this is a thing. But he did. He's coming back.
Of course.
Apparently,
did he find his brother on the boat?
Yeah, he's posting pictures
in Savannah.
Charleston.
Okay.
Yeah, they apparently Australians. That's where they meet.
Sure, of course.
But he kept trying to screen touch my laptop. My point is that are laptops dead? I mean, desktops, are they dead?
I don't know if they're dead. You see, with the hardcore gamers, you know, people that need octa-core processors and things like that, they're big into building their own. I would find it very unlikely that students this year heading off to college are going to lug a desktop. You know, for the
or
work,
even a laptop.
Yeah, I mean, and even for the work environment too. If you think about it, I think we're going to move more to cloud-based solutions. It's just easier to centralize the processing, and you can make things so much smaller and frankly easier for folks to get the work done that they need to. If you've got it all in the cloud, you don't have to worry about, you know, a clunky operating system that's kind of messing things up.
And then we all get the implant.
I know.
I'm waiting for the contact lens.
I know you are.
You know, did you ever try Google Glass? Did you ever try those?
I did, actually, yes.
I thought it was awesome, but the OS looked like DOS.
Right.
I mean, it's clunky and horrible.
I saw it. So I was out at the Googleplex back in 2013, and amazing experience. Really brilliant, bright people. And I got to, you know, wear the Google Glass around for a while. I found it particularly useful with the heads-up display for navigation. So if you're in an unfamiliar area, which I was, and you're riding one of the Google bikes, you certainly don't want to be pulling out your smartphone while you're on a bike. You know, that's not really a good approach. But having the Google glasses, you could actually see where your turn was coming up as you're looking ahead. So I think we're going to see something come back fairly soon with regards to a system like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like Google Glass, but I certainly think there was utility there. I think there was functionality that is quite useful, and especially in today's day and age where everyone's looking down at their phones all the time when crossing the street. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do. We're not paying enough attention. We're having that information overlaid or augmented over our reality.
Do you think they'll be able to drive that way? I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, you could probably bake the technology into like a windshield screen. I think this the idea of the augmented reality as a heads up thing for information. If you've seen Google has a great video of some of the work that they're doing with maps and overlaying information. So, you know, as part of some of these new updates that are coming down, you can actually like point your phone at buildings and things like that and have information pop out about it. So if you're a tourist, if you're exploring, you know, you talk about the things that you're interested in, and now you've got all these points of interest that are popping up. So not only do you get your turn-by-turn navigation, you actually see the arrow on the street.
I got to tell you, the one thing I'm most interested in, truly, is I'm terrible with names. I can remember mm-hmm. stories forever, but names I'm horrible at. Wouldn't that be great to have a heads up, like I wear glasses?
Yep.
You go, you know, Steve, he has a child and a dog named Bonzo.
I would love that. I'd particularly like to see when was the last time we talked, like, what did we talk about?
Oh,
like a quick summary, and then it'd be like, hey.